I'd like for you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. God literally gave me a word about 5 minutes before church started. I went up there to pray, and God, what do you want me to say tonight? And God gave me a word, and I liked it. I knew exactly what to do with it. 1 Kings chapter 12. And it has a lot to do with, let me show you what this is, all right? Several years ago, when we first opened up our radio station over there, Michael went and visited and helped get it going and everything like that. And he come back and he handed me this. And I went, what is it? He said, the elders gave it to me and wanted you to have it. I said, what is it? He said, that. Okay. So this has been sitting in my office now for, well, I don't remember when we started that radio station, but it's been sitting in my office now, just laying up on a shelf, just like this. I was afraid when I was on my way home, I was afraid maybe I'd thrown it away or I wouldn't be able to find it. When I got here today, I went, there it is, right there. And I didn't learn what this was until this weekend, okay? And it really hit me driving home last night. I was telling Lisa about everything that's going on, and I was explaining this to her, and I almost started crying there just driving home. It's just overwhelming to me what this is, and I'll explain that in a little bit. All right, and then I've got two of these. No, these are not Scottish kilts. Okay, this is not a toga. The headmaster of the Ladero School came to me and he shook my hand. He said, brother, I appreciate you and love you. And he said, I'm the headmaster here. He had him on a nice little cowboy hat. I liked him, you know. And he was wearing this like this. And, you know, walking around. And he said, I'm born again. He said, I love Jesus. I love the word. And he said, appreciate you preaching and everything. We got along really good. His name is Brother Peter. You pray for Brother Peter. He's the head of that school. He was wearing this. And I just was talking to him there for a while, and I went back and stood by him, and I said, you know, I really like that. And he went, here. And he put it on my shoulder, and I went, no. He said, no, take this. And the Holy Spirit was saying, Mike, don't give it back to him, okay? And so I wore it. And when I was sitting there, there's a picture of me next to the governor of Samburu. He came out with us. And he asked me, he said, where did you get that? And I said, the headmaster, Brother Peter, gave it to me. And he said, well, you're fixing to get another one. I said, really? He said, yeah, that's why you're here. So they stood me up and they presented me with this one. Okay? And I'll explain this part a little bit. This is the reason why the headmaster was wearing it, why he was wearing it like this. That's his designation among those people, that he is an elder. And let me tell you something. We're not just talking about an old guy like we think of here. We have lost respect for our elders in this country. We've lost it. And it's not right, okay? Because the old people still have... The Bible said, seek ye out the old paths and walk therein. Who knows where all the old paths are? The elders. They could tell you. Now, this used to be a roadway here. They've covered it up. But you can see the line there. You see, they know where all the old paths are. This is why Rick Warren has spent his life running old people out of churches. He has destroyed the foundation of wisdom out of those churches. He's gotten the old people out. He'll tell the pastors, if you go to two services, so you can have the rock and roll one, and you can have the nice one like the old people do, because they've got all the money. But if they buck up against you, tell them to go to church somewhere else. And that's what he tells everybody. Get out. You're not for us anymore. So anyway, what this was, when he gave this to me, when Brother Peter laid this on my shoulder, he was giving me the vestment of respect as an elder over those people there. Okay? And then during the ceremony, they had me stand up. And the governor knew what was going to happen. And he said, leave that one here. So I left it there and I went out there and they laid another one. They folded it up and laid it on my shoulder there. And everybody clapped and applauded and everything like that. And if you think this is just ceremonial, it's not. Okay? Because when I tell you what that is, I hope you'll get it. And you just pray that I don't start crying, because it's a big deal. OK, Okay? It is. It is a huge, huge thing what God has done over there. 1 Kings chapter 12, we're going to read a story about bad advice. Okay? Bad advice. This is after Solomon has died, and Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Now, Rehoboam is in the line to be king. So when Solomon dies, Rehoboam's going to be king. Now, let me give you a little background. This goes back to when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. The child died. He had Uriah, her husband, killed. Then he stole that man's wife and covered up the pregnancy. That child died. The second, does anybody know who the second child of Bathsheba was? Solomon. Okay? Second child of Bathsheba was Solomon. But anyway, Nathan the prophet said, "The sword shall never depart from thine house." And God promised him would not happen in his lifetime. God promised Solomon it would not happen in Solomon's lifetime. Solomon's dead. Rehoboam becomes king. And God is about ready to fulfill his word. He's going to split that nation apart. Watch how this works. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel came to Shechem to make him king. It came to pass when Jeroboam, let me tell you who he was. He was a servant of Solomon at one time. He was a servant of Solomon. Worked for him. And I won't get into it because it'll take a little. There's an interesting reason why Jeroboam shows up here. It has to do with God chastening Solomon. But anyway, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon. And Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spoke unto Rehoboam, saying, now listen to this now. Here's the congregation of Israel coming to the king. Now you listen to this. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his... make sure I'm reading this right. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. You know what that yoke was? It's taxes. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. They're going to bust this nation apart over taxes. You mark it down. That could very well be the firing line of what splits this nation apart. Because I'm sick and tired of working myself to death and then paying Barack Obama to take my money, give it to sodomites, amen, and kill babies with it. I'm sick of it. Okay? And to give it to nations that have sworn to destroy America. Makes me sick. Okay, so they asked Rehoboam, lower the taxes and we'll serve you. Okay, so watch this. You listen to this now. You young people, you pay attention to the word of God. Verse 5, and he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days and then come again to me. And the people departed. The king Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father. Now, don't you look at that word, old men. What was that vestment they gave me? I'm an elder. Okay, watch this. He stood with the old man that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? Now look up for a minute. You'll clearly see it in the Bible. The person who is in charge, usually the king, never makes decisions on his own, but what he's counseled to make those decisions. You go through the whole Bible. Whoever's in charge, there's usually somebody, good or evil, who is counseling that king, saying, king, do this. King, if you want this, now do this, do this. And the king will do that. That deal about Daniel in the lion's den, that was based on the counsel of the guys that hated Daniel. And you just trace this. Jezebel was Ahab's counselor. Okay? Lot there. You study that out in the Bible, all right? Barack Obama is not the one making the decisions on his own. He's got very, very powerful people behind him, saying, do it this way. So anyway, how do you advise that I may answer this people? Verse 7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Listen to these old men, they're wise. And they're saying, Rehoboam, if you'll listen to them, lower their taxes, they'll follow you till the day they die. That's wise counsel, isn't it? Okay? Now watch this. Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with who? Young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. Now, think about, I want you to think about who this crowd is. These are his buddies. Here is a 20-some-odd-year-old young man who grew up around these other young men, and they hung around Rehoboam for one reason. He's got the gold and the parties and the wine and the women and the music. We're going to hang around him because he's got all that. That's all they care about. Now listen to me. This nation, you get it in your head now that we're fixing to lose this country. Get it in your head. Because the younger generation of this nation rebukes the counsel of the aged wise men. Okay? And they don't care about standing up for liberty. They don't care about standing up for rights. They don't care about any of that. They say, give us the money and we'll support you. That works in every race and every community in this nation. Keep the money rolling in. We'll support you. The move to take all these illegal aliens coming in out of Mexico and give them voting rights. What's that for? Because these people know who's going to keep the money rolling in to them. The free housing, free cell phone, free medical care, free education done in Spanish. We're going to destroy this nation. Okay? These young men grew up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people and who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? The young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. That was a derogatory remark. And now whereas my father did lay you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Right next to your Bible, write Revelation 9. Because I'm telling you, the counsel of this world is going to bring people, it's going to bring scorpions out of that pit. I'll chastise you with scorpions. Okay? Verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. Now I will add, look what he's doing. He's reading from the teleprompter. Amen! He didn't write that. He didn't come up with that. His young hippie counselors told him that. And he's just reading from the teleprompter is all he's doing. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thy own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. When it says unto this day, they're right. It's exactly right. That what you have on this day is you have the 10 northern tribes in a separate kingdom from Judah and Benjamin to the south. There was a civil war and a schism and a division in the house of Israel on this day. And it was done over taxes and over going after the wicked counsel of the young and not esteeming the counsel of the elders. Young people, great lesson in this. Because let me tell you something. I sat up there upstairs and I just went through, you know me, I got way more verses than I got time tonight. Let me read some of them to you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. How many of you want to go to heaven someday? Say amen. Quit listening to what's been said on TV and the internet and radio. Quit listening to the music. Young people, listen to me. Look at me. Don't you listen to that garbage. Every adult in this room, say amen to that. Don't you listen to that garbage. Be not deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. Brother Ed back here stood up after Mike Brown was killed and said, it's their music. That's who's preaching to those people. It's their music. It's all that rape and violence and killing cops. And let's start a war right here in this country. Okay? And listen, I hear it on the other side too. And I've heard it from preachers. Oh, the South is going to rise again. And what they're talking about is that we're going to split this nation in half. Okay? Listen, you don't want to see that. You don't. You do not want to see that happen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 5:10, destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Listen. Preachers were preaching against rock and roll music in 1955, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 70s, 80s, and they hit the 90s. I know a man that came to this church and did a seminar on the occult. He used to go around, he had some videos, he did seminars in churches on rock music. I had noticed that he had not done that in a long time, and I asked him, Dave, I said, how come you don't do deals on rock music anymore? He said, number one, the music itself, he said, I would play like examples, you know, and give the lyrics. He said, the music right now has gotten so vulgar, I don't feel right saying what this music says in the church house. Number two, the churches don't want to hear it anymore because they're playing that music. They just run him out of a job. That's what they did. But anyway, they've been preaching against rock and roll music because of its rebellious nature. And that's how the generation has come up in this country that does not care one thing about this Bible and righteousness. They are going to vote and bring in people over them who are going to be cruel authority to them. But as long as they keep the money and the parties and everything else, as long as they legalize marijuana and sodomite marriage, as long as they legalize, I'm telling you, they will be walking in public totally nude in 5 to 10 years in this nation, being protected by the law. Destroy them out of their own counsel. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who giveth me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. That's the Bible. Amen. Underline that, put that in your notes and say, this is why I believe the Bible's right and everything it says 100% of the time. If it's got an error in it, then this verse is wrong. Because it said, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. You want to go to heaven? Better listen to God's counsel. Better listen to it. Better listen to this Bible. Better listen to when the Bible's read, when it's preached, when you think Bible. That's my life. That's what I want out of anybody. I don't care if it's in Kenya or right here in this church. When you think Bible. You think, let God show you the paths of your life and what you're supposed to do and not do. Let God show you that. That way you're not mad at me. Because I've 20 years here, and I guarantee you there's a whole truckload of people don't like me anymore in this town. Okay? Because all I did was say, well, you know, the Bible says this. Boom. And it'll happen again. Okay? It'll happen again. I hate it. Makes me cry. Wise man shall hear. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 8:14. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. You underline that in your Bible and write 2 Thessalonians 2. Because that's how it's going to happen. Where no counsel is, the people fall. Now, don't you everybody listen to me. Young and old, you listen to me. Okay? There was a time in my life, in my adult youth, where I just got on this little kick where I said, it's going to be all up to me to make myself happy. I'll just do whatever I want to make myself happy. And I was making decisions in my mind that I was not asking people, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Okay? And God smote me over that hard. Hard. God began to teach me about listening to people. Okay? I have two men that are not part of this church. I have gone to both of them individually, privately, and said, I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Anything, Brother Mike, what you need. I'm going to ask you to be a guardian over my mouth. What do you mean? If I say it and you hear it and it's not in accordance with this word, you pick up the phone and call me and say, Mike, we need to talk, and I'll listen to you. Both of them, two men, independently, and they both have said yes. Okay? I trust them. I trust them. They can call me anytime and say, Mike, somebody had told me that you said this. I went and listened to it, and let me make sure I hear you right. Mike, the Bible says this. Those two guys know they can pick up the phone and call me. Okay? I'm just going to be honest. I have that happen a lot where people on the outside think they can just nail me and say, you have to listen to me now. Listen, I don't trust you. I don't know you. Okay? I don't have to listen to everybody tell me what to do and think they can pull my strings. I don't. Okay? But I wanted you to know, I'm saying it publicly. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I'm saying it publicly, that I have people that are guardians over this thing right here, and I need them. Okay? Those two men have wise counseled me in areas before, and I've learned to trust them, because I know that they're concerned about me. They care about me. So you got to care about me before I listen to you. Okay? Because anybody with an agenda would just roll in here. And it's been done. And it'll happen again. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. Proverbs 12:14, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Here's what I was going to say a while ago. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is an island of themselves. You won't make it that way. You won't survive. Your marriage won't last. Your life is going to come crashing down on you because you listen to your own foolish counsel. Well, I think it's this way. I think it's that way. And I make my own decisions. You're a fool. You're an idiot is what you are. You're sitting in church or sitting at home being an idiot. If you will not listen to wise counsel, someone telling you, what do you think God gave me her for a wife for? She's just that pretty little thing I drag around. Look at my wife. Listen, I guarantee you, I'm not going to say anymore. Love her. Amen. Couldn't wait to get home. She's a guardian over my mouth. Okay? You pray. Listen, you want to pray for me? You pray for her first. Because she knows this. Now, don't you listen to me. You find fault in this if you want. She knows that if she put her foot down and said, it's how I want it, I'd do it. Okay? She knows that. And I've said it before. I love her. And God dealt with me a long time ago. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave himself unto her. God dealt with me about giving to her and listening to her. Okay? So what you do is you pray for her that God always gives her a spirit to give me wise counsel. And if you don't think that's right, she's kept me from leaving this place more than once. Okay? She has. Once was right before the very first Watchman broadcast. I don't think I've ever said that publicly. Oops. God bless you guys. We love you. Okay? But she counsels me. She tells me what's on her mind, what's on her heart. And I promised her I'd always listen to her. I always would listen to her. Okay? So you pray for her. I know what time is it? 8 o'clock? Let me read some more verses, then I'm going to show you what this thing is up here. There are Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Your heart, listen, when you hear on TV, follow your heart. Trust your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Your heart's going to send you to hell. Amen. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You listen to the Lord, He'll lead you right every single time. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Every purpose is established by counsel. And good advice, and with good advice, make war. Proverbs 15:22, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. You know what that means? He's going to rule. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. You need help? Ask Jesus. He's a lot cheaper than Dr. Phil. Amen? And a lot less abrasive. Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel. Christ had, that's one of the seven spirits of God. Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. So that was the word that God gave to me, and I'm holding it back right now. I didn't know what this was. You know, everybody in the world, they've got different ways about how they do things. So every time I go to Kenya, I learn a little bit more. I'm a lot more at ease now this trip because I know how the planes work. I know where the gates are. I know all that stuff. I know some things I didn't know years ago. But Michael comes in, hands me this, and I said, what is it? He said, well, the elders wanted you to have it. I said, okay, what is it? He said, there it is. So this has been sitting on my shelf. Sunday afternoon, we preached in a church, in an Anglican church. A Church of England church. And I'll tell you, it's far different than it is in London. Okay, I mean, they got with it. Amen. I mean, it was good. That house was full of people. And we had a good time. We had a good time. We got it all recorded, I think. So it'll be out. Okay. But anyway, we left there and we went out to the Ladero School. And the governor rode in the helicopter with us. He provided the security team and the security cars. And let me tell you, I thought this guy was driving fast just to try to keep up with the blaze of dust down the road. No, 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 no. They'll drive on these roads 50, 60 miles an hour because your chances of being shot are a lot less if you're driving fast. That's what I found out. So we got out there. And then they led me down with the governor to where the well is, and there's a big sign there, and they had a curtain draped over it. They had a ribbon. So the governor stood on one side and me on the other. Now the governor he had not really declared his intention to be there until the day before. That sign with that ribbon on it was not for the governor. It was for me. They had me stand there and they took a pair of scissors on a tray and said, Pastor, would you do us the honor? I have never done this before. Snip, and they rolled it back and it has the sign, you know, the Ladero School well built by Hope Foundation, you know, Watchman FM, things like that. And this, I have no idea what to do, but I said, folks, let's pray. Boy, they did. Hats off, and boy, we prayed. We prayed, God, give them cool drink of water when they need it, okay? So then we went down to some buildings. They're the school. I can tell you this, it's a mixed school, which means they have elementary and they have high school level. The high school level had needed a chemistry lab, okay? Those people, those boys and girls, they're starving to learn things that we take for granted here. And they finally was able to build a chemistry lab because now they have water. Never had that before. So, why, you know me, everybody's going in the chemistry lab. Well, I went, what's in this building here? Well, lunch was in there. So we sat down, had lunch. I'm sitting next to the governor and everything like that. And I've already got my little deal there. And then we went back up to the main area where the tower is and where the tank is. Very, very well built. I was very pleased. with the looks of it, how it was designed, everything like that. If God allows us to dig another one, we're going to use that same company. And I thought they did a good job. But anyway, so they had this tent set up for the VIPs. And so they had a red carpet down, and they had chairs. And the two main chairs, they direct, because I'm not just assuming anything. And they said, Pastor, you sit right here. That was one of the main chairs. And then they had the governor sit next to me there. And there's a picture of that, I think, put it on the internet. And so anyway, sitting next to me was a member of parliament. He was from Samburu. And then next to him was an official of some kind. I don't know exactly who he was. And they was all speaking Swahili and Samburu, and I'm just going, I have no idea. But, when in Rome, that was good. What do you say, So anyway, when I looked over, they brought all the children choirs out, and they sang and danced. And the governor said, Mike, they're singing to you. They're singing welcome to you. Karibu. They're telling you they're grateful for what they did. And I'm just going. So when they got all done dancing, I noticed that the member of parliament guy sitting next to me, he had one of these. And I went, I got one of those. I didn't have it with me. I didn't know. So then after all that, it's time for people to get up and give their little speeches. So the guy that had this got up, and he went in front of the microphones, and there was a camera crew from Kenya Television out of Nairobi. They were there filming it and doing all this stuff. And he was talking, and he had this in his hand. He gave his little talk. And when he sat down, the fellow sitting next to him was supposed to get up and speak. He handed that to him. He went over to the microphone. Started talking. What this means is, we'll listen to you. We want to hear your counsel. And those elders, whenever we started that station, they said, give that to Pastor. He has a right to tell us. You don't know how big a responsibility that is. Because these people sit and listen to every word I say. And it gets hard. But they said, you have a right to talk to us. You're one of our elders. When God first dealt with me, 1998, 99, somewhere around in there, about this book. And God started showing me things out of it. I thought that the men that I was raised under in the denomination would just do somersaults over what I had to say. Lisa will tell you, one after another, the men that I would have served under in the denomination rejected me, warned people about me, told John Uter, your problem is you've been listening to Mike Hogger too much. That's your problem. Go to camp. I love that camp. I can't go there anymore. I used to go down there and teach. I used to go down there and preach. That ain't happening ever again. They didn't want to hear it. So I said, okay, I'm not going to say anything. We left Sterling, the denomination, because number one, they didn't do anything for us. All they wanted was money. And number two, we was going to have one of them every quarter. You take a chance on one of them getting behind your pulpit. So now we're going to be preaching out of the NIV, and I'd have to throw a hymn book or something at them. And I brought up the issue one time. They put me on the executive committee. Bad mistake. And I brought up the issue one time of, I said, can we pass a resolution that if you're a deacon or a pastor in this quarterly, in this district, you cannot be a Freemason? And the head of that committee said, why don't you wait a year until I'm off the board because two of my deacons are. And the Holy Ghost said, Mike, you're done. And that was the last We had it at this church. It's the last one we ever went to. Okay? So, if the world doesn't think anything about this people over here in Africa, God does. And they want to hear what we had to say. Okay? Did you hear what I said? I didn't say I. Because this belongs to us. Okay? And this is a huge responsibility because those people are putting their soul on what goes on here. And I'm telling you, failure is not an option for us. We can't. That's why this is such a big responsibility. Because they said, you're our elder. You have whatever this is. We're going to listen to your counsel. Okay? Big responsibility. So let's stand to our feet.